Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com. Find our daily audio, rate, review, and subscribe today. Titans lose 38-28 over the weekend yesterday to the New Orleans Saints, and Michael Thomas sets records yesterday. Drew Brees is the all-time leading passer in basically every single major NFL category you can possibly think of. So Titans fans, if you were at the game, however many of you were there, obviously saw some cool stuff yesterday for the other team, obviously. Predators also take 2 points from Boston in overtime. They take 7 out of 8 in their four-game road trip.
Big game yesterday.
Really,
for the Preds.
Yeah, really important week for the Preds as they collect 7 out of 8 points and kind of right the ship a little bit there. Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And Corey, there are... To me, there are two different ways, and I don't know if you heard last segment, but there's two different ways to look at this outcome yesterday, that it literally meant absolutely nothing in the standings, that you didn't have Derrick Henry or Dory Jackson, and you still managed to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the NFL, and outside of a bad targeting call, you were right there at the end of the game. Now it's all in front of you. Or all the major issues you've had with this team all season long came to light, and this is what's going to cost this team in the playoffs. Which way do you look at it?
Well, I think they're both really true. You know, I don't think the game meant nothing though. I mean, if you win that game, all you have to have is the Steelers lose Sunday, and you're in the playoffs. So,
and the Colts.
No, I mean, if they would have won yesterday, this next Sunday,
all that happened
is Pittsburgh to lose. So, you could have helped yourself out by winning this football game. So, I don't think it's entirely meaningless. And just interesting to see, early they were able to get after Brees a little bit. The Saints had a couple of penalties, and that lasted for what, about 20 minutes, 25 uh-huh. minutes? And then it all kind of came apart. But to me, it's interesting how, not having Derrick Henry, kind of influenced some of this stuff as well. The Saints really able to come after the quarterback because they're just not as worried about Deion Lewis back there as they are having Derrick Henry back there. I think the last 9 games, I think they're giving up 25 points a game as opposed to those first 6. I don't know what the number was, but it was in the mid-teens.
I think it was 17, 16 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're giving considerably more points. Some of that has to do with opponents. Some of it has to do with injury. So that hasn't changed. But I think, it's kind of who they are right now at this time, a team capable of scoring some more points, but also a team that's now giving up more points.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you can blame that game on many different things. Obviously, the number one thing to me is Derrick Henry didn't play, and you saw how much different that offense was. Even though Deion Lewis, I felt, played really well. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. He had a big run, the 17-yard run. But looking at that game, and do you trust if this hamstring isn't 100%? Because I don't think they can beat Houston unless Houston have to sit a lot of people. I don't think they can beat Houston with 80% Derrick Henry. I think he has to be closer to 90%, closer to 100%, if not 100%. Because I'm judging it by the way they played them last time. I don't think Houston was worried about Derrick Henry, but once they found he couldn't be that home run hitter, they kind of switched things up a little bit. Can you trust in Ryan Tannehill to win new games moving forward if Derrick Henry's not 100%?
Well, I mean, that's the big question, because going into this game, once I learned Derrick Henry wasn't going to play, I was saying that. I was like, well, they're going to have to lean on Ryan Tannehill to try to win the game. And if you're asking Ryan Tannehill to go toe-to-toe with Drew Brees, that's probably not going to work out real well. And, you look at their first 2 scores, they're 41 yards and 49 yards. That's players making plays with the football in their hands. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Ryan Tannehill. I'm just saying that Tannehill didn't lead those drives. Those were plays that guys just made. And so, you have to still wonder because, that's still, yesterday they score 28 points, it's still a game where he threw, I think, 26 passes. Was he 17 of 26?
27?
Yeah, you're still not seeing him, you know, throw 35, 40 passes leading this team, you know, up and down the field. So I think it's a legitimate point, Derek, that if this team is – when this team's really good, it's when number 22 is leading the way. Now, if the Texans don't start Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, you know, 80, 90% Derrick Henry may be enough, but in the postseason it won't be enough.
Corey Curtis joining us here, and that raises the other issue, which is the offensive line, of course. And, you know, Taylor Lewan certainly had things to say about it after the game. He's already sent out a few – he's posted some comments on the Twitter sphere, of course, as he tends to do. Not that big of a deal to me. The bigger deal is that when you get work – like, it's just – you've just been talking about being bad all season. It felt like they had sort of corrected some of those mistakes. They gave up 5 sacks yesterday. They're exposed without Derrick Henry as well. What are your thoughts on the offensive line's play yesterday and what it means against a Texans team, which doesn't have a great pass rush, but then a playoff team potentially?
Well, I mean, it's not that surprising because, like I said, what they've done is based on, you know, battering people with number 22. And so when you're going forward – and, you know, they've got 8, 9 guys committed, you know, to number 22. It opens things up in the passing game, and they can't bring quite as many, you know, to run after the quarterback. And, you know, when that changes, it changes the way you play defense. And, you know, the offensive line, you know, has gotten a lot of things, you know, corrected, but not enough. There was one play where they held in 2 tight ends. I think it was the play where Taylor wound up on his behind. I think they held – no, it wasn't. It was a different play, so forgive me. But it was in one play they held in 2 tight ends and still gave up the sack. So, you know, it's – you know, they're not great in that department when that's just what they have to do, when they're one-dimensional. They need to be multi-dimensional. And that, you know, kind of why it's important for them to continue playing with the lead. And as soon as they got behind in that game, you kind of knew they were in a little bit of trouble.
All right, Corey, big picture here. If they, because the likelihood of them not making it to the playoffs, I think they beat Houston because I think Houston's just going to come into the game trying not to get anyone hurt. I don't, that Pittsburgh game, even if they win, Titans, I think, has the tiebreaker. So, and then it would have Indianapolis, there's a whole big scenario that has to go on for the Titans to make it, but I think they do get in the playoffs. With that being said, 8-8, losing the last 3 games of the season, what do you think about that team, or what's being said about that team, even though they made the playoffs, but they're 1 game worse than it was the year prior?
You know, it's interesting because I've gotten some reaction already about this team. And a lot of it is that people feel better about this team, you know, moving forward into next year already because of where they are. And I don't know if it's because people, you know, are all in on Tannehill or what. You know, it is different than last year because last year was kind of weird. Last year they had so many injuries that they had to battle through, you know, just trying to kind of piece this thing together. But the fact is, you know, you're still looking at a 4th straight 9-7, or possibly 8-8, like you said. And, you know, you kind of thought that the talent on this team was better than that. And the stat that I look at that's not great is 4-4 at home. You know, there's too much talent on this team to be 4-4 at home. And so it's to me, it's kind of a missed opportunity this year. And, you know, we've seen this team play really well, and we've also seen it play not so well. And so, you know, I the big picture for fans, I think fans are feeling better about it. But for me, I'm looking at it as kind of a missed opportunity.
Quickly, looking at this team and knowing how they can potentially finish, meaning 8-8, this might be a little bit too far-fetched, but – are you worried, not from a dysfunctional standpoint, because I don't think this is a dysfunctional team at all, but are you worried this can be the Cleveland Browns, because we saw the same thing with Baker Mayfield, and they went on this run when they switched quarterback. All this other stuff happened. The Titans go on this run with Ryan Tannehill, and then all of a sudden things start to slow down, teams figure him out, going to the next season, high hopes, and all of a sudden you end up not the team that many thought you were.
Well, it's a good point, Derek, and I think, number one, they're not dysfunctional. You're right. I mean, the Browns have a culture issue, and I don't think that the Titans do. But they do have a big-picture question to ask about their quarterback, and that is he has played well and he has looked very good, but you still have to ask yourself, is he the guy who can take us to the Super Bowl? You know, and that was the whole question about Marcus Mariota coming in. You know, was he the guy that could take us to the Super Bowl? And that question still remains, you know, about Ryan Tannehill, and it's why you'd like to see him get them to the playoffs and see how he does in the playoffs. You know, because there are a lot of guys in the NFL, and there are quarterbacks in the NFL who are good, but they need the rest of the parts around them to be good for them to be very good. You know, Dak Prescott, I think, is one of those guys, and there are other guys like that. And I think they need to figure out just how good, you know, Ryan Tannehill is, because I think that's the big question that they have to answer. I think they probably already answered it to themselves, but, you know, he can answer a little bit more in the coming weeks.
How much is the franchise tag going to be worth? About $26 million, $27 million? I think that's about what they're going to pay him next year. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think I said 3 years, $78 million was the number I came up with. So that'll be right there.
There you go. Corey Curtis, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey Curtis News 2 there. We've got a Christmas miracle this morning, Derek.
Yes.
A Christmas surprise. A little extra something-something for you folks
here. A little sauce for you people.
On a Monday morning. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show, starting your morning off with the kickoff from 11 to 1 p.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Texans. That game flexed to the 3:25 time slot. The Chiefs and Chargers will be at noon, and if the Chiefs win that game, the Texans will have literally nothing to play for. That could be a factor. Make sure you're checking out the NFL pregame show, because it's brought to you by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. A little surprise for you folks when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the only reason Marquise Munson, producer, would break from his...
Just let it play for a little bit. Just let it play for a little bit.
I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to, you know, get to content, Marquise.
Okay, now you can talk.
The only reason he would not... Thank you, Munson. Would not play Christmas music today, because every break so far he's played nothing but Christmas music. The only reason he would break for that...
Well, that was a Christmas song, but you just didn't let it play. He said it's a Christmas song.
Oh, if you say it in the song, it becomes a Christmas song?
Yes.
Hey, it's just like Die Hard. It happened on Christmas.
Don't get me started.
Curtis Blow raps on Christmas is a Christmas song.
You guys are taking away time from my holiday surprise to our audience.
Hey, man, this is fire right now.
Teron Davenport from ESPN, the Teron Davenport, just
TD.
Wandering around our studios. I said, hey, you want to talk a little Titans football, man? And you said, sure, why not?
It's TD on air.
Teron
man.
Davenport with us this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, I left my charger in here
Friday.
And,
thank goodness.
I had to come in to scoop it up, man.
So you had enough power then to go to the stadium, do all your work. That's good. You didn't need to charge it.
Well, you know, it's just like who wants to be a millionaire. You know, you got to use a phone, a friend, Lifeline. My guy, Dan Graziano.
And you got to charge him.
Yeah, there you go. I had to borrow his charger. It's ESPN. They give us these old Lenovo laptops. The only other guy to have one was another ESPN.
Lenovo. It sounds like a hockey player. I think he plays for the Flyers, actually. Lenovo. Two massive ways to walk away. Big picture, 10,000-foot view of yesterday's 38-28 loss to the Saints for the Titans. And that is, you know, again, you played a really tough game against a great team. You went toe-to-toe. You know, outside of a bad non-targeting call at the end of the game, had a chance to either tie it or take the lead in the final minutes without Derrick Henry, without Adoree Jackson, in a game that literally meant nothing to your playoff chances. That's one way you can look at it. Or you can look at it and say, all the things that cost us the game are things that are wrong with the team. Special teams can't cover a kick to save your life. The secondary issues, not able to stop Michael Thomas, no pressure on Drew Brees in the second half, offensive line issues. So one's the sky is falling, the other one's totally fine. Are you somewhere in the middle? Which side do you fall on?
I think you need to be somewhere in the middle. That's really the bottom line. There are some good points that you could pull out of it like you did, but there are some areas for improvement that you could point to like you did. And the thing is, this team should not expect to just make the playoffs. Like, you don't go out there and practice to make the playoffs. You practice to go on a run. And the only way you're going to be able to go on a run is if you shore up some of these things that needed to be better yesterday. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, you're right. I think one of the problems can be potentially fixed, and that's the offensive line. I think when Derrick Henry's in a game, the pass rush tends to be a little different. Yeah, they're going against Houston. The Houston doesn't have a pass rush. I'm sure they're going to try to stop Derrick Henry, but they did the last game and couldn't, and he was about 80%. That secondary, at this point, I don't think there's anything that they can do. They play well in the first half, but then in the second half, this is my concern. 77% of the passes went to one guy.
Right.
And they couldn't stop him.
Yep.
The week before, they couldn't stop Hopkins. Even with Adoree Jackson, having not played in so many games, you can't then expect him to come out there and be that shutdown guy.
Right.
I don't know what they do about the, I don't know what they do moving forward about this secondary, because at this point, without a rush, they did get some sacks. Yesterday, but the second half was different. Without a rush, I don't see this team going far, even if they make it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And they're trying to find ways to manufacture a pass rush. You mm-hmm. see Jarrell Casey moving to outside and playing inside. And I tell you,
50th sack yesterday, by the way. Congrats to Jarrell Casey in his career.
Yeah, and I tell you, you're speaking of sacks, Derek Roberson. Listen, man. I was very, very pleased to see the results that he put out there mm-hmm. yesterday. So he's someone that could help. They need to go ahead and bring Sharif Finch back and figure out, you know, how to get him in that lineup. But you're right. I mean, that secondary, you know, Michael Thomas has 17 targets.
Mm-hmm.
17 targets. And a lot of it was against zone. You know, you see him settling into windows and stuff like that. But he did beat man defense multiple times. But here's the thing. It's not just the cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You will rarely, you hear me? Rarely hear me say something bad about Kevin Byard. But
he got exposed yesterday.
Yeah. You know, 3rd and 13, he gave up a 26-yard reception to Michael Thomas. Jarrett Cook
in the end
beat him for a 6. Now, mm-hmm. I get it. The perfect pass is very hard to defend, but, mm-hmm. you know, you're the highest paid safety in the history. You got to, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? You got to do better. And it doesn't even come out smoothly, me criticizing Kevin Byard, because I'm not used to doing that. But, I mean, you got to be real about it. So, yeah, as a secondary overall. And then there was also that Alvin Kamara touchdown run, the one that happened on the second play mm-hmm. of the third quarter.
Yeah.
Go back and watch Kenny Vaccaro. And I'm talking barely about Kenny Vaccaro.
What's going on with you? Are you all right today?
Hey, listen, man, I'm just keeping
calling it how it is.
All right.
His angle was it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was. He had a terrible angle. He should have been able to cut Kamara off and not allow that to be a touchdown, but mm-hmm. he didn't. So there were issues in the secondary against the run. There were issues against the pass. And you're right. I don't know how they fix that in this short amount of time.
And I would – well, maybe Deshaun Watson not playing would be helpful, and that there's a good chance he may not play a lot, at least. I will say we can add Jayon Brown to this mix, but I can't really be critical of Jayon Brown when he ends up man-to-man on Michael Thomas. I don't really think that's a fair matchup for him. But even he was getting beat in pass coverage. And I'm going, man, these are like the best players doing what they're supposed to do and not getting the job done.
Yeah, and it's just, man, listen. I will raise my hand and say I was off on my Michael Thomas evaluation. I felt he was a good route runner. I thought that some of these guys that had him as their number one receiver in that mm-hmm. class were a little off. You know what I mean? But that dude is just, he's the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Last week against the Texans, for the most part, outside of two plays,
mm-hmm.
they had Hopkins contained. One of those plays was an off-schedule play where he was running that dig route, and he slammed on the brakes and reversed back towards the sideline he came from as Watson scrambled over, and that was a 35-yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
Not really much you could do on that one. But one of his other big games came where he ran, they did a divide concept, which they always do. Will Fuller runs that deep post from one side. Hopkins runs the dig.
And Byard couldn't cover
him. And yeah, it's like, yep. Okay, you want me to cover both of these? I can't do it.
Right.
He tried to and he was almost there, but I bring that up because why? Will Fuller's not going to be playing on Sunday. He had the groin issue, you know, that came up on Saturday. And then in addition to an already bad hamstring, he's not going to be playing. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Fuller is like a Lamborghini or Maserati, right? A high-end sports car. A lot of maintenance is required to keep something. It goes fast, but it's a lot of maintenance that you have to put into getting that right. So he's not going to be playing. So that should help the Titans somewhat this week. But after this week, I don't know what to say.
Well, I think the thing that really helps him, and I think we talked about this last week, is that in regards to Hopkins and Thomas – I still believe that Hopkins, to me, he's the best receiver in the league, hands down.
You won't get a dispute from me either.
But here's the difference. Sean Payton calling plays and Bill O'Brien calling plays. If Sean Payton's calling plays for Houston, Hopkins is catching what Thomas is catching. That's the X factor with the Titans. They play when they're matched up against the Bill O'Brien. I don't think Bill O'Brien's a good coach. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And the Titans know it, too. That's why they have. That's why they play them the way that they play them. Bill O'Brien, he doesn't know how to call plays. Sean Payton, on the other end, you saw the adjustment they made in the second half, and they started to move Thomas around, uh-huh. putting him in positions where he can succeed.
Uh-huh.
Bill O'Brien doesn't do that with Hopkins. Hopkins has to sort of manufacture all of these catches that he makes because he's not in a position to be just scot-free wide open on a route. Where mm-hmm. Thomas is all the time.
They lined him up in the slot.
Yeah,
yesterday.
It's just yeah. That's why I trust the Titans against Bill O'Brien and not necessarily against the Sean Payton.
I don't think either of us, Teron, disagree with what you're saying about Bill O'Brien and Sean Payton. One guy's got a Super Bowl. The other guy's never really made it out of the first round of the playoffs. But I will say this. He did get Kenny Stills matched up in slot against Logan Ryan and beat him for touchdowns. Right? In man-to-man coverage. I'm just saying that it's not like there's still not issues for the Titans against the Texans this weekend.
Kenny Stills is a really good receiver. You know,
dude can run.
He's just very underrated. But, I mean, I just – outside of that divide concept, that's really the only way that they get Hopkins open.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you don't see a concentrated amount of – plays being called to get him open, like you said, like Sean Payton does. Or even, you know, I'll be honest, the Titans do a really good job of calling plays to get A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yesterday was a little bit different.
I want to ask you about that, too.
But, yeah.
But they went after Corey Davis a few times on purpose because they knew Lattimore was all over Brown. And some of the times it worked. A couple of those crossing routes, a couple of play-action passes.
A couple of receptions, play-action, like you said, yeah.
And I know, Teron, we'll talk to you normally on Friday, so we do appreciate you helping us out. A little double-dip here on the holiday week. But it feels like, just talking to you in the last few minutes, it feels like you're leaning Titans over the Texans in the final week. They get into the playoffs and they go to Kansas City. It's what the vibe I'm getting from you.
Yeah, no, I am. I am. I'm leaning towards that. And I'm leaning towards A.J. Brown having – at least 75 yards receiving and joining this man to my left as one of the Titans' 1,000-yard receivers.
There's not many of them. It's a short list. It's like Derek Mason, Nate Washington, Derek Mason.
Yeah, it's not many.
And I'm not including tight ends. I'm not including tight ends.
I was going to say Delaney. Cam Lee, my guy Delaney out, man.
Yeah.
but all no, right. Quickly, and sort of brought that up. In regards to A.J. Brown, what did you see? Because I can't wait to watch the All-22. Because before this game, I said, this is the measuring stick for me with A.J.
Mm-hmm,
Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to match you up with the best corners going to go with you. To me, this is a measuring stick for me in regards to him. Now, he has a long way to go. I know that. But this is the game where if you do what you need to do, then people are going to look at you totally different.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. Tell me, were they doing something that I didn't see that I will see once I watched All-22?
And looking back on it, the only thing I could think of, because I haven't watched it again, so I'm through the same sunglasses as you're going through. But I remember a couple times where Lattimore was able to get hands on him mm-hmm. and slow him up at the top of the route. But one of those times he got called. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was, if I remember correctly, it was kind of back and forth. Okay. But it just seemed like Tannehill was moving away from mm-hmm. a lot. So I'm not sure. And actually, come to think of it, Tannehill admitted that. He said, by no means did Lattimore lock A.J. Brown down. Mm-hmm. There were multiple times where when he went back and looked at the steal shots, A.J. was winning on the backside of the route.
Mm-hmm. He went away from his progression too quickly?
He was going away. Yeah, okay. he was, or not even getting
and,
there.
And he did throw him the ball a couple of times early, and they were called back for penalties and yeah. because they were making a big deal on the broadcast about in the fourth quarter he hadn't been targeted yet. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, if you complete a pass for 8 yards, technically that's a target and a reception, even though it was holding mm-hmm. and you get the call back or whatever. So, anyway, we can go round and round on all this stuff. It's a fascinating game to me because, as a guy whose job it is to analyze this stuff, I can find so many positives about yesterday mm-hmm. yeah. in a game that literally meant nothing to your playoff chances. And then at the same time, I'm like, why can this team never get a stop on defense when it needs to? It didn't against Houston, and it didn't yesterday. And that's something you got to be worried about in a playoff game because, like you said, the point isn't just to get there. That's fun. That's nice. It makes for a great weekend, and we get to celebrate a playoff appearance and have fun as a city. But what's the real reason you're doing all this yeah. stuff? To win a Super
exactly.
Bowl.
Yeah.
So, Teron, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Safe travels.
Thanks,
and we'll talk to you on
yeah,
Friday,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by. Give us a few minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
Randomly. all right. I do want to talk because Teron did not talk himself up enough there.
Uh-huh.
There was one guy who had a great game yesterday, and it's his first time he ever really got snaps all season, and I want to talk about that man when we come back right here on Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, Teron and I are done talking about the Mets. We're just trying to figure out a way to get rid of Yoenis Cespedes. I'm not sure our market cares about that,
what
Derek.
What you got?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Need a penicillin shot for that.
Yes, exactly.
Derek Mason, Brain Gall here.
Like, what's going on, Brain? You're getting a little personal here, man.
Don't talk about my yoiness that way, all right? I'm trying to get rid of that, man. This damn contract. The Mets just know how to hand out awful contracts. Oh, that's all they know how to do. Teron's a huge Mets fan, so you know we commiserate as being Mets fans. Along with Willie Donick, a.k.a. Wiley DeNuke, as well.
Yeah, that's where you went wrong. You and Willie are Met fans. There you go.
Well, and he chose it. That's his fault, dummy. He just woke up one day and chose to be a Mets fan. I didn't choose it.
You were born into it.
Yeah, my father bestowed that burden upon my shoulders the day I was born. I had no choice. All right. Let's get back to the Titans here. Preds, by the way, they do win on Saturday night, so we'll talk about that in just a minute as they pick up 7 out of 8 points on the road trip and of course, a huge win in overtime. Roman Josi just doing absolutely magician-like things on the ice right now. We'll get to his pace and what the win meant in the road trip. We'll get to all that coming up next segment. But I want to give Teron credit because he won't do it himself because he's a humble guy. That's how he is, and I like that about him. But he was talking Derek Roberson to me and to our audience on this show all summer camp long, an undrafted free agent, about what he could accomplish this season. And it has taken him some time to develop and fall into play. But there is a chance after, two and a half sacks yesterday,
mm-hmm.
A couple of really big plays. It's starting to come to him. He played last week, didn't get any defensive snaps, but he played on special teams and then got some defensive snaps this week for the first time in his career as an undrafted rookie. Made, obviously, a huge impact yesterday. There are some unsung heroes. They didn't miss an extra point. How about that?
Ah.
So our boy, Greg Joseph, making kicks yesterday. Now,
hey, let's not. I mean, we were raving over Santos, weren't we?
Yeah, okay,
after
fine.
The first.
Well, and Cody Parkey went 3 for 3
exactly.
in like a game. So there were some other. There were some smaller pieces around the edges. Khalif Raymond, I thought, played pretty well. Had a nice big return. Had a great catch, and you know, again, completely blown away by the fact that wasn't called helmet to helmet and may have changed the outcome of the game in theory. I don't like to normally say that about referees, but that was a critical call that went the Saints' way, and it should have been a targeting penalty. So there were some pieces around the bottom of the roster. The way they won the Colts game was the same. You know, there were some nice pieces that you saw yesterday, again, in a game that meant absolutely nothing to your playoff chances against one of the best teams in the NFL, that you go, all right, maybe we found something in this guy or that guy or here or there.
I think, watching the last couple of weeks, I think the Khalif Raymond, adding him, keeping him on the roster, I think it has turned out to be a huge plus for the Tennessee Titans. I don't know how many years he signed for, but they need to re-up him after the season. He's sort of like, probably not on the same tier, he's sort of like the Vaccaro move they made 2 years ago, where they brought him in once Cyprian went down. They signed him, and he played so well that he was one of their top free agents to potentially bring back, and they did. I'm not saying Khalif Raymond is a top free agent, because obviously their top free agent is Derrick Henry. And then it's kind of Derrick Henry, the quarterback, or the quarterback, Derrick Henry.
Logan Ryan,
I think Derrick Henry is the number one guy you need to get done, and then everybody else kind of fall in order. But Khalif Raymond, they can't make the mistake and think that when Adam Humphries comes back, they're not going to need Khalif Raymond anymore. This guy,
especially with Tajae Sharpe's contract,
this guy gives you something that you don't have again: speed in the slot, speed outside, speed that can take the defense with him while AJ Brown and Davis come underneath. Now Brown is going to beat you every so often, you know, on a deep pass, but he doesn't. He's not that guy that's just going to flat out run by everyone. Khalif Raymond has that speed.
Yeah.
He can open up everything else for those guys underneath those 15-yard, 10-yard routes. That's a guy that I've been very pleased with. Again, he's not a – he's probably at best maybe a third to fourth receiver.
Yeah.
But he's a critical piece in what they've been doing, because also he returns punts. And he could return kickoffs.
Yeah, he had a big play in special teams yesterday.
Exactly.
And I agree. I think you need to bring him back, especially because he won't be very expensive.
Exactly.
Tajae Sharpe played a really good game yesterday when needed to step up. And he's a guy that you know can catch passes.
You know what you get out of him.
Yeah, you know he's going to catch laser beams in the back of the end zone. That's like what he does now. I will say that the only difference between Vaccaro and Raymond for me is pedigree. You know, Vaccaro was
a first round
pick, University of Texas, you know, big time stud. Saints drafted him, and you know, I still to this day don't understand why he was on the waiver wire for like 9 months or sitting there as an available free agent for like 8 months. That's the only real difference, but I agree. There's no reason, you know, he steps in for an injured player, plays really well. I think, you know, Roberson yesterday, again, I think was one of the brightest stars. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we learned anything about Greg Joseph, the kicker.
No.
I assume maybe there'll be an important kick coming up against the Texans, or certainly in the playoffs should they get there. You know, Dawkins had a couple of nice runs as a third string tailback yesterday, who got forced into action. So, you know, not a great player or a great game, but had a few moments where he did what he was supposed to do. DYJ, right? Mm-hmm. Do your job. So I think there are plenty of younger kids and younger kids. I say kids. Listen to me. God, I'm getting so old. I'm almost 40. There were plenty of the bottom third of the roster, which I thought was one of the biggest reasons they beat the Colts, was those guys contributing. You know, Austin Johnson, I think, yesterday played a boatload of snaps. I mean, just almost the entire game. And so there's a lot of guys that were contributing yesterday that were sort of the bottom third again, largely due to injuries, forced into action. Some of it was scheme. I just think that, again, I will choose – normally I'm the cynic. Normally I'm the negative guy. Yeah. I will choose to walk out of that game thinking, you know, hey, listen, the game didn't mean anything. You didn't have Derrick Henry. You didn't have Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler. You know, the offensive line played terribly, and you still were 3 points down on one of the best teams in the NFL with a couple minutes to go, and a bad call kept you from maybe tying the game up. So I'm going to come out of that one feeling positive. It doesn't mean I'm not concerned about some stuff,
but
I'm going into week 17 going, hey, boys, we got a playoff game here.
No,
all right?
Yeah, listen,
ready? Let's strap it up.
You're absolutely right, Braden. We point out the flaws because we know eventually, you know, because some people do is, okay, we're not worried about it because that game didn't mean anything. And as long as we win the Houston game, you're absolutely right. Win or lose, if Pittsburgh lose, you're in with some other stuff that happens.
They got the Christmas gift they needed.
We understand that. But then,
thanks, Sam Darnold.
Those are still areas moving forward that needs to be fixed. You just can't say, well, you know, because of our situation and playoff situation, it'll be fine. It's fine for these two games, but it won't be fine moving into the playoffs. Absolutely right. With all of that going on, there were guys that stepped up, and they're going to need that in the playoffs. They're going to need that bottom half because this team is basically depleted right now, especially in the back end. They're going to need that bottom half of the roster to step up and make big plays or make plays during the game that are key to what they're doing, whether it's Khalif Raymond, whether it's the defensive line, whether it's the secondary with Brock Jr. These guys are going to have to make plays moving forward entering the playoffs. I believe that's the only way they're going to continue to win games in the playoffs is if that bottom half, along with the guys that we know are going to make playoffs, but that bottom half has to give them something in the playoff if indeed they make it, which I think they will.
And I was reading ESPN, and they had a power rankings up, and I hate power rankings, but I was reading this a couple of days ago, and I think it was Teron, of course, who wrote it, and it's something over 20 contracts that are going to be expiring, and you know the power rankings were put out there, and it was, hey, you know, who's the priority? What's the priority in the offseason? And I think in general we know that it's Tannehill and Derrick Henry, but it doesn't mean there aren't a boatload of other contracts they're going to have to sign. There could be huge roster turnover, or we could see a lot of guys brought back, probably somewhere in the middle. But again, that's neither here nor there. Maybe it's because I'm trying to get 3 days worth of shows into one show. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to do the overreact Monday, and then also
and
like
projection.
Yeah, like I'm projection. Doing the underreact Tuesday and the projection Wednesday. I'm trying to do all those shows in one, and I'm trying to say, guys, you almost beat a really great team yesterday without Derrick Henry, and you still have a chance to make the playoffs because it didn't really mean anything.
Hot take right here.
I'm just being, you know, positive on a holiday week.
Khalif Raymond will be the first free agent signing they make.
I don't know if that's a hot take. It might be the easiest.
It is. That's why I said
it might be the easiest contract.
The easiest contract they made.
They're gonna be like,
it's
hey,
gonna be easy.
You want to play football next year? Yeah. He's gonna go, yeah.
You're gonna be easy, and he's gonna sign him to a contract. And people are gonna say, well, they need to sign Derrick Henry first. Well, the money they get Khalif Raymond ain't gonna stop what they're doing with Derrick Henry.
$900,000 exactly. For Khalif Raymond is not gonna stop anybody. Teron's texting me here. Tajay Sharpe needs to be re-signed. Listen, we all want Tajay back.
Yeah, you can't have them both, boy.
The question is
Tajay and Khalif. Khalif Raymond.
We talked about this during the break. The question for me, if I'm Tajay, just putting myself in his shoes, is, all right, I know I'm probably no better than the number three here or the number four here next year.
Mm-hmm.
Humphreys, Brown, Davis. I'm probably and Jonnu Smith's developing, so I'm probably the number four receiver, maybe the number five option.
But I'm battling with Khalif Raymond in camp.
And
if
I don't
sign him back.
And I might have to teach myself some special teams. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or do I want to take a little bit more money and maybe go someplace to a team that's much worse, probably,
mm-hmm.
that needs a number two or a number three? You're going to get more snaps and maybe more money. It's hard to see him taking less money to have less of a role on a better team here. I don't know. He's a nice player. He's a good player, dependable. You know what you're getting. He seems like he's going to be a cap casualty, but we'll see. John Robinson, maybe he can work some magic. We'll see. Preds did get a huge win. We're going to change gears for just a minute here on a Monday because the Preds got a huge win on Saturday night. What does it mean for the playoff standings and the direction of this franchise? We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive. ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game at our official Winter Classic watch party at Tin Roof on Broadway Wednesday, January 1st, to cheer on the Nashville Predators as they take on the Dallas Stars in the Winter Classic. Puck drops at 1 p.m. Enter to win the Preds tickets. Enter to win Preds tickets to an upcoming home game plus other great prizes. That's our watch party January 1st. That's New Year's Day. Let me get this right, guys. So New Year's Day, Tin Roof on Broadway. Here's the question. How many of you are going home? That's my question. January 1st,
mm-hmm.
watch party. Wednesday, New Year's Day, official Winter Classic watch party. How many people are going home? Just stay out.
Yeah, you might as well.
It's New Year's Eve. Y'all are all going to be down there until like 3 in the morning. Just, you know, go to your car, take a nap, come back, and watch the Winter Classic at 1 p.m. at Tin Roof.
Yeah, might as well.
There's no reason to go home. Just stay out there on Broadway. Find something to do. Go get some breakfast somewhere, you know. Have a good old time. Preds win Saturday night 4-3 against Boston. What Roman Josi... I'm not sure. Like, Ryan Tannehill's had, like, an exceptional run here that sort of earned himself some, like, mythical status. Derrick Henry is the most beloved Tennessee Titan, right? It's not even close. He's the most popular.
Oh, of course.
Tennessee Titan. I just think the things that Roman Josi is doing, the coast-to-coast,
it's just
like buttered toast that Crispy says, 2 games ago against Ottawa to tie it at 4 and get a point was one of the most exceptional plays you'll ever see a defenseman make in the NHL. And then he comes back and the backhand, you know, against Boston to take the lead. And then where he just, you see a puck loose in the offensive zone a million times and the goaltender normally gets to it and knocks it away and just kind of pops it out of the way and all's clear. We see Pekka Rinne and UC Saros do it all the time. But Roman Josi beat the Boston goaltender to the puck on a loose puck sort of breakaway thing, whatever they call that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns from a terrible angle and fires it into the empty net for his second goal. And he just is like, "Yeah, guys, what's up? I just did that." Like, the look on his face was like, "I didn't even try." Like, that was nothing.
That was just me.
He's got 13 goals. He's a couple away from his career high. The high for a Predators defenseman is 23 points. The high for a Predators defenseman in points is 61. Mm-hmm. Roman Josi is on pace to get to 79 points. He's on pace for 30 goals.
Mm-hmm.
He could get to 30 goals. A Predators defenseman. The things Roman Josi is doing right now, 7 out of 8 is critical for the Nashville Predators on a road trip like that where mm-hmm. they were in the standings. They're still, I think they're tied for 9th place right now, and they're chasing in the wild card, so they've gained some ground, and that was a huge road swing. They got Arizona tonight, and then back-to-backs with Pittsburgh coming up at the end of the week, Friday and Saturday. It is... the things he's doing right now, Derek, mm-hmm. that $9 million contract looks about right.
Well, of course. He's playing extremely well. Forsberg had a goal against the Boston Bruins. Ekholm played pretty good. Sissons had his moment. This team, you know, they're down 2-1 in the second period. They go up 3-2. Then Boston ties it up. At the end, but then they go into overtime, and they ultimately get the victory in overtime. This team is starting to, figure this thing out slowly but surely. They know that, you know, this is a long season, and they just got to chip away. They beat Boston, who's the best team in the Atlantic right now.
Chipping away is the right way to put it.
They're just chipping. Yeah. Well, they're not the best team, but they have the second best. They have the second most points.
Well, they're first in their division, and I think they're second in the conference.
And second in the conference.
Yeah.
But they're just slowly chipping away at, you know, this sort of hole they put themselves in, this wall that they put themselves behind. They're slowly chipping it away. And they're having guys step up and play well. You know, best players on the team. You talked about it last week. Best players on the team need to step up. Well, Roman Josi
yep.
continues to step up. Forsberg continues to do things.
Got a big goal on Saturday.
Duchesne needs to step up a little bit more. Those guys, the only way they're going to chip away at this, especially without Arvidsson, is that these key guys do something in the game that's going to, you know, push this team in a positive. You know, whether it's Josi going to coast to coast, Forsberg getting to go, you know, whether it's
Arvidsson back in the game.
So
buried the lead there, by the way. My bad.
They're going to have to continue to do this. And hopefully by, you know, mid-January, they're in a position where they're, say, in fifth place or fourth place in their division, because they can easily get up to that.
Well, I think they're fifth right now,
okay.
And I think they're only a point back in the Central. But again, all that matters is that they've gone 8-3-3 mm-hmm. since the losing streak. And you sort of have to think about it in a big picture way. If you're going to get to 95, 98, whatever the point total is that you think you need to get to get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. you kind of have to go 8-3-3 the rest of the way. You kind of have to win 2 out of 3 games, give or take. And so what they've done over this stretch since that losing streak is what you need to continue to do, but you just got to do it for 50 more games because you dug yourself a little bit of a hole. You sort of have dug your way out of it now, but you're still sitting there in 9th place. You're still not in the playoffs. So you've got to continue to do the work. And going into Boston, that was a hard-fought game. Boston's mm-hmm. a really good team, super talented.
They played toe-to-toe with them.
They went toe-to-toe with them, which they did against St. Louis mm-hmm. when they took two out of both games in a row. So, again, Arvidsson, you get back. That's good news. Forsberg scores. That's good news. You know, Josi's just doing exceptional things. I just think the pace that he's on, if you look at the numbers, I think he's on pace for almost a point per game. And again, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could challenge a lot of single-season records for the Predators, not just for defensemen, mm-hmm. but also for total point totals as well. So not necessarily goals, but I think he's on pace for like 31 goals and like 50 assists. He's on pace for like 80 points. Paul Kariya set the record with 85. So it's not like he's not – I mean, he's – it's is this sustainable? Who knows? Mm-hmm. But he's been exceptional. ESPN 102.5 The Game is bringing you the road to Dallas, Nashville's best coverage of the Winter Classic. Keep up with all you need to know about the Winter Classic as the Preds face the Stars in Dallas on New Year's Day. Special programming and live coverage from Dallas all month long. Hit up thegamenashville.com for full programming information. Derrick Henry did not play yesterday for the Tennessee Titans. They lost to the Saints 38-28. Was it the right decision from Mike Vrabel to leave Derrick Henry on the bench? We will debate when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.